Welcome to PRN's Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman. My guest today is Francis Boyle. Francis, it is just a delight to have you on. It's very, very well timed. I'll just tell listeners very briefly, who may not know you, I think most do, that Francis is a distinguished University of Illinois law professor. He stands for what's right. He's forthrightly against what's wrong. He's an expert on international human rights law. He's written numerous books on various topics. Too many to go into, Francis. We've discussed a couple on this program before, but there is certainly fireworks going on today. Your comments on what's happening, the spying, the NSA, Edward Joseph Snowden, that's right. My middle name is Joseph, by golly. I should remember that easily. Francis, again, I'm eager to hear your comments on this.
I guess we could take Snowden first and then these unfortunate developments going on in Syria. As you know, this Professor Jeff Stone, who was former dean of the University of Chicago Law School, who hired Obama, recently came out on the Amy Goodman Show and apparently on Huffington Post and saying Snowden was guilty of a crime, and he had no defense. Now, who appointed Stone God? I would like to know. Snowden is entitled to the presumption of innocence until proven guilty before a jury of his peers, 12 men and women sitting there. The statement by Stone that he had no defense is just outrageous. Snowden's basic defense here is the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution. And under the the current circumstances, I think I should read it. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. It doesn't surprise me that Stone, former dean of the University of Chicago Law School, would take this position, and Obama backing up Obama, whom he hired. I entered the University of Chicago in 1968. Indeed, I got accepted at that law school after only 2 years of my undergraduate program there. It was well known that the University of Chicago was always at the extreme right wing of elite American legal education. And up there, what you have are either overt neocons, like Eric Posner, the son of Judge Posner, who openly advocates torture and is a total disgrace to my profession, or you have closet neocons, like Stone, who has now endorsed what Obama is doing. As for Obama, who was after me at Harvard Law School and used to teach at the University of Chicago Law School, saying that, we need to balance security with privacy, that's ridiculous, too. The balance is set forth in the Fourth Amendment. That's the balance right there, as our founding fathers saw it. You need a warrant, probable cause, and a particularity here. And that is Snowden's basic point, that the spying programs across the board violated the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. And as far as I'm concerned, Snowden is a Fourth Amendment hero. And we should all be rallying to his support. And I certainly would not be sending anyone to the University of Chicago Law School where they're all just as like Stone or even worse. Indeed, I wouldn't even send my dog up to the University of Chicago Law School. And the same applies to Bradley Manning. As you know, I put a little post out on behalf of Manning. I'm not involved in his court-martial proceedings at all. Just saying, you know, a generation ago, people asked, where were the good Germans? Well, there were some good Germans, and I mentioned Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the Protestant pastor, theologian, who was one of the first to condemn the Nazi mistreatment of the Jews and eventually became pastor to the anti-Nazi resistance and was murdered by the SS. Well, people ask themselves today, where are the good Americans? Well, the good Americans are Bradley Manning and Mr. Snowden. Those are the good Americans. Now, as for so notice here, Stone is lining up with the police state, and that's all you're going to learn at the University of Chicago Law School, how to line up with the police state. And I say that as someone, you know, who's at the top of my undergraduate class there. As for Syria, I think this was foreshadowed in Obama's appointment of Rice to serve as the National Security Director and Samantha Power to serve as his new UN ambassador. With respect to the war of aggression against Libya under the name of this bogus responsibility to protect doctrine, the people who were the spear carriers on that were Mrs. Clinton, the Secretary of State, her legal advisor, Harold Koh, now returned to Yale Law School. He was Obama's point man on drones and is called even in Washington, D.C., Killer Koh, advocating war crimes and crimes against humanity, against people all over the world. And I would say Koh is a worthy replacement to Yale Law School Dean Gene Rostow, who was a major Vietnam War criminal. So now you're going to have another major war criminal teaching international law at Yale Law School. He's a former dean there. Well, again, I wouldn't send my dog to Yale Law School or Harvard Law School either these days. In addition, then, was Rice supporting the war of extermination against Libya at the UN, Power at the National Security Council, and Anne-Marie Slaughtered, who was head of policy planning at State Department behind me at Harvard Law School, returned to Princeton. And this whole cabal of them, and by the way, Power teaching at Harvard, the Kennedy School of Government, which is the Kennedy School, which is a de facto outpost for the CIA and the Department of Defense, which, you know, I think anyone affiliated with Harvard knows that. They were the ones who together pushed this war and exterminated about 50,000 Libyans. That's the best estimate anyone can come up with out there. And now, of course, Clinton has left, Slaughtered has left, Koh has left, but Power is there, Rice is there, Obama is there. The latest report coming out this morning is that the United States government will be overtly arming these rebel terrorists, whom, by the way, we helped get into Syria, shipping many of them from Libya, where they had just killed 50,000 people. And it also appears we'll be setting up a no-fly zone in Syria, which is clearly illegal. It's also unconstitutional. Obama has no authority to engage in acts of warfare against Syria, whether overt or covert, in violation of the War Powers Clause of the Constitution. and the War Powers Resolution enacted by Congress back in 1973, designed to prevent another Vietnam War. And as a graduate of Harvard Law School and someone who taught at the University of Chicago Law School, Obama knows this full well, that he is engaged in illegal, unconstitutional behavior, and he could not care less. Exactly what he did to Libya. These are clearly impeachable offenses. Obama has also murdered three United States citizens that we are aware of. He sent his Attorney General Holder to Northwestern Law School to justify murdering United States citizens. I grew up in Chicago. My father was a trial lawyer. I clerked for his law firm starting at the age of nine. I always had a high opinion of Northwestern Law School, but that law school deliberately permitted Holder to go in there and serve as a prop to justify murdering United States citizens in violation of the Fifth Amendment to the United States Constitution. Another impeachable offense, both for Obama and Holder. And when Holder showed up there at Northwestern Law School, they all knew exactly what he was going to say, and they gave him a standing ovation before he justified murdering United States citizens, and they gave him a standing ovation after he justified murdering United States citizens. I think on that day, Northwestern Law School died. It really did, certainly for me. Indeed, I was recently asked to speak up there, and I said, no, I'd have nothing to do with them. So what we're seeing is the perversion of lawyers, elite legal education, Northwestern, Chicago, Harvard, Yale, going right down the list. You know, the Nazis had their lawyers and law professors, too. And that, I'm afraid, is what is going on right now. The U.S. Arming these rebel extremist terrorists in Syria, our guys, by the way, who we helped put there, is only throwing gasoline on the fire. We already have a headquarters troop over in Jordan now, about 1,000 Marines. To set up a base planning for major U.S. military intervention. The Joint Chiefs of Staff have estimated it would take at least 70,000. I'm sure that's a gross underestimate of what it would take if we were to invade Syria. A no-fly zone, you know, 50,000 in Libya would be nothing compared to what's going to happen in Syria. We'd see outright genocide against the Alawites, 2.5 million people, probably the Christian population as well, outright genocide against them. So it's we have an administration here that's completely out of anyone's control. And in many respects, he's worse than Bush. Even Bush never arrogated to himself the alleged right to murder United States citizens. When Bush went to war against Iraq, which, by the way, I opposed, at least he did go to Congress. He lied to Congress about non-existent weapons of mass destruction, just like Obama is doing today in Syria. And he did get authorization from Congress under the War Powers Resolution to go to war against Iraq. Again, I did not support that, and it was clearly based on lies. And he defrauded criminal conspiracy to defraud the United States Congress. Obama couldn't care less. He didn't care about Libya. He now does not care about Syria. So he also, Obama, insisted that the National Defense Authorization Act apply to United States citizens here in the United States, that basically gives the military the right to pick up, detain any United States citizen they want to, and disappear that person, move him into a military brig, ship him down to Guantanamo, extraordinarily render him to some other state where that person could be tortured.
Francis.
So Obama has become Bush on steroids, and unlike Bush, who was not a lawyer, Obama is, and a law teacher. I wouldn't say professor. He was a law teacher, never had a tenure-track position. So he knows better. He knows what he's doing. Indeed, he condemned all these Bush practices when he was running for the presidency.
Just a few comments, Francis. I wholeheartedly agree with everything you said, and your comments so far are extremely important. I think if you could sum up Obama and his administration, what he stands for, it would be something like saying, out of control lawlessness writ large. As far as Edward Snowden goes, anyone who believes in constitutional law principles, U.S. statute and international law principles should applaud what he has done. He is a national hero. He's a world hero. He deserves praise. He deserves support. We need hundreds more like him. There's something called the Whistleblower Protection Act. It's probably not written worth the paper it's written on. Came out in 1989. It gives protection to whistleblowers, government employees who expose government wrongdoing. They're supposed to be protected. Don't expect Obama officials to do anything to protect Snowden. They're going to go after him hammer and tong. They either want him arrested, disappeared, or murdered. I can't imagine that China would extradite him, but you never know. China could get a lot of information from him, and I'm sure he's passing on a great deal now. As far as Syria goes, Francis, you picked the topic that I'm writing about this morning with regard to Obama overtly saying through his spokesman, National Security Advisor, a man named Ben Rhodes, that America, he was less than completely specific, but if you read between the lines, he very clearly said America is going to be supplying weapons. Well, this is doing it overtly. It's been going on covertly since the conflict began. This war is Washington's war. It was planned years ago by Washington. The idea is regime change. The idea is getting rid of an independent leader, putting in a pro-Western puppet. That's the deal in Libya. That's the deal in Iraq, Afghanistan. That's the deal with all these independent governments. It has nothing to do with Democrats or despots or anything in between. All of that is irrelevant. So that's what this is all about. The Wall Street Journal this morning, Francis, I don't know if you saw it, they buried it deep in an article that the Pentagon is drawing up plans for, I think they said, a limited no-fly zone where it'll put a chunk of Syria, maybe on Jordan's border and on Israel's border, off limits. Well, a no-fly zone is a declaration of war because it has to be supported. And if a Syrian aircraft enter that no-fly zone, well, not Syrian aircraft, if there are ground defenses, Syrian ground defenses on Syrian territory in that illegally declared no-fly zone that only the Security Council can declare, not the Obama administration, but if it is declared and enforced, it means that you have to bomb those air defenses. You've got to take them out. That's an act of war before the Libya war. And I remember quoting this. I think it was a General Hamm, I think he was head of AFRICOM, admitted before the no-fly zone on Libya that if it was instituted, which it was, I'll never forget the resolution, U.S. Resolution 1973, as soon as that thing came into force, if it passed, America, or NATO, you know, U.S.-led NATO, would have to bomb these defense installations to be sure that nothing could attack overhead aircraft. I'll stop there, Francis, and let you continue. This is ugly stuff.
Well, that's correct, and Stephen, if your listeners are interested, I just published a new book, Destroying Libya and World Order. And because of what was also being done to Syria, toward the end of that book, chapters 5, 6, and the conclusion, I also applied the analysis to Syria as well. You are correct.
Let me just get
plans to attack Syria go back to Wolfowitz after 9/11, saying that the United States government was going to get into the business of, quote, ending states, unquote. And Wolfowitz ahead of me at the University of Chicago studying international relations, so we go way back. The neocons have always called Syria low-hanging fruit. So the plan to take out Syria goes back at least that far. And this was confirmed by General Wesley Clark in his memoirs, and I have the citation in my book, the plan by the Bush neocons to take out seven Muslim states, starting with Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, Syria, Somalia, Yemen, Sudan, and Iran. So this is, and I have all the citations in there. This is exactly what they have been doing since 9/11, and the Obama people are simply continuing the same program. You know, Democrats versus Republicans, Tweedledum versus Tweedledee. They're either neocons or neolibs like Power and Rice or Clinton or Slaughtered. They come up with whatever lies they have to tell to justify war. I demolish this doctrine of responsibility to protect in my book. I have a whole chapter in there, chapter 5, with respect to both Libya and Syria. As to the allegations of chemical weapons, well, that's a joke and a fraud, too. Just read through the statement put out by the White House today saying, well, we don't really know who did it or under what circumstances, but we're saying Syria did it. All they have are alleged samples from two people smuggled out of Syria, and one is still alive. Well, of course, that's a lie then, too, because if it was actually sarin, that other guy would not be alive. He'd be dead. Just a drop would kill you. The the Defense Department has said, well, we have no evidence to the contrary. Not true. Carla Del Ponte, who was on the UN Committee on Syria 2 weeks ago, publicly came out and said there is evidence that it is the opposition that has used sarin and not the government. We have no evidence that the government has done. So this is just a replay of all the Bush lies on weapons of mass destruction in Iraq that did not exist. And indeed, those of us opposing that war at the time said there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. I had a debate with a top Republican honcho lawyer, David Rifkin, in October 2002 on Pacifica Radio Network live, where I said there are no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And Rifkin said to me, do you mean that the president is lying and the vice president and the secretary of state and the secretary of defense and the national security director and the head of the CIA are all lying? And I said, yes, they are all lying. We've been through this before during the Vietnam War. Everyone lied under the Kennedy and Johnson administration. They lied our way into a war that killed 58,000 men of my generation and 3 million Vietnamese. And a generation later, Robert McNamara published his memoirs in retrospect in which he admitted he lied. So now it's the same old lies being told all over again by the Obama administration. And let me repeat here, the notion that, you know, these Obama people are liberal is a joke. These are the sons and the daughters of the best and the brightest from Harvard that gave us the Vietnam War, the direct lineal descendants. Indeed, both Obamas, Mr. and Mrs. Obama, went to Harvard Law School or after Harvard Law School from me. Power, Harvard, the list of all his top people, most of them are from Harvard, a sprinkling from Yale, some from the University of Chicago. So the same people, the direct descendants of the people, the Harvard people who gave us the Vietnam War, have given us the Libya War, and now they're going to give us this war against Syria. And this will be far more dangerous. It threatens to call in Russia for sure. They have a naval base there. They have troops on the ground. President Putin has made it clear he, so far, is not going to just stand by idly. The Russian government has just said that the Obama people shared with them the so-called intelligence on chemical weapons, and there's nothing there that is convincing. This is exactly what Bush did in his war. He went around Europe trying to tell everyone there were weapons of mass destruction there, and really couldn't convince anyone. So it's the same thing all over again. I would hope this time the American people are not going to be deceived. But unfortunately, what we're seeing is all the so-called liberal establishment who supported Obama in 2008 and again in 2012 are going along with it, including the mainstream news media. You had this media prostitute, Jeff Toobin, on CNN, who was after me at Harvard Law School, condemning Snowden. You had Stone condemning Snowden, saying, you know, he's a criminal. Well, again, he's entitled to the presumption of innocence. And in my opinion, he's a Fourth Amendment hero. So everyone seems to be going along with this. And we also, Stephen, have to factor into this equation Israel behind the scenes and the Israel lobby and all their supporters here in the United States who fully support taking out Syria and the Assad government. You'll note they have large quantities of troops, tanks, and others mobilized right now on the Golan Heights near the ceasefire line. That is not a border. It is a ceasefire line. Israel illegally occupies the Golan Heights. It appears that these terrorist fundamentalist extremists are taking steps to get UNDOF off the Golan Heights. The Austrians just pulled out 300. The Filipinos have pulled out to facilitate an Israeli invasion of Syria so they can lop off more land of Syria. So it's and that's why then so much of the news media is also supporting this, because most of them are pro-Israel. So we have to factor that into the equation, but it, you know, it's not the only factor.
There's no question that Israel is very much involved in this, and Israel has been arming al-Qaeda and al-Nusra, the worst cutthroat killers that have been imported into Syria. These aren't homegrown people. The opposition in Syria is basically fundamentally nonviolent. There may be some who aren't exactly going along with the major strain of the nonviolent groups. There are a number of them, but virtually all the nonviolent groups in Syria are nonviolent, and the violent ones are these imported death squads. That's what you need to call them, death squads. It's the old Salvador option from the 1980s. We saw it before the 1980s in Vietnam and the 1980s Central America. We saw it in Libya. We're seeing it again in Syria. I mean, this is outrageous, Francis. It is appalling where we're heading. We're literally heading for a confrontation where Russia might come up against America. There's a possibility of regional war. There's a possibility that it literally could morph into something on more of a global basis. This is very serious stuff. Before we go on FAIR, I want listeners to know the title of your book your newest book that I should have mentioned at the outset of the program. It's called
Destroying Libya and World Order. And as I said, yes, the first four chapters just deal with U.S.-Libyan relations, but then 5-6 conclusion also applies the analysis to Syria.
Francis, thank you so much. This was a very important program. I look forward to getting you back again. heaven help us, I hope there's a way to stop this. The only possible way is to keep spreading truth and get people mad enough to say they're not going to take this anymore. America certainly doesn't go to war in my name. It shouldn't go to war in anybody's name. Only we, the people, as we say, have a possibility of stopping it. Join us over the weekend, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Make it a regular habit. Thank you, Francis.